All work and no play make the Roundabout Crew dull boys.
And welcome to the Roundabout Crew's podcast on the Greenfield Post. It's a roundabout look at all things sport, and plenty happened on the weekend, boys. Plenty happened. Not in my personal life, but in the sporting world, plenty happened. Tom, didn't catch any?
No, didn't catch any as usual, but I'm keen to hear what did happen. Kenny?
A lot of sport, as Elliot said, and I think probably the one that satisfied me the most was Australia winning the test versus Pakistan.
Yes.
Came down right to the wire. Absolute thriller, Elliot.
Do you remember a few weeks ago we were complaining about Australia?
Yeah,
and how they kept losing.
You were so down.
They won five games in a row now.
I feel like maybe we're the jinx.
Yeah.
No, the opposite of a jinx.
The good luck charm. We're the luck of the Irish, but we're not Irish kind of thing. Mm. Is that what you're saying?
I guess so.
Okay. Good to hear. But yeah, no, we won the test, but it was absolutely a nail biter, and it shouldn't have been. We should have smashed them. We'd got out to such a large lead, and then they almost did the impossible and chased it down on the final day. So everyone was really nervous on, what's today?
Thursday?
No, it's Monday.
It's Monday?
How drunk are you, Ken?
Kenny was not only watching cricket, but smashing beers, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, they go hand in hand.
Basically, we put a total of 429 on, bowled out Pakistan for 142, so that's 300 runs short. Then we went out, smashed the ball a bit, declared. So what? Do you know what a declaration means?
I honestly don't.
It's when you basically stop your innings. Okay. Because you think your lead is long enough that the other team won't be able to chase it down.
Oh.
And you want to chase the win because you know, the game can stop after 5 days and be a draw.
Yep.
You don't know what I'm talking about. Well, anyway, we declared, and then we had a 490 run lead, and they posted 450. So there was only 40 runs in the end that separated both teams.
It would have been a world record chase had Pakistan done it, and they're pretty much like their score at the moment is a world record for a chase at that venue, but obviously slightly short of what they actually needed.
Were you shitting your pants?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the edge of your little fold-up chairs.
Yeah, we were both shitting our pants today. Well, it was today at work. We're kind of looking up from our desks, and we're also watching on one screen the Dallas Cowboys play as well.
Ah.
Because our fantasy team's in the semifinals, we were talking about last week, and we needed the Cowboys to do well, and they did do well.
I wanted to ask you, for your fantasy league, like, what are the prizes, what are the punishments?
Right, so obviously this NFL one's not as prolific as our NRL one we do through the season. Okay. So the NRL one we call the Reaver Bowls, named after the late, great Reaver Steenkamp. I'm not sure why. And
it started off as an in-joke. We lost its origins now.
Yes.
It's just what it is.
It's just what it is now.
You win the Reaver Bowl. It's a nice big trophy for the winner. Now the loser, because it's all Reaver related, gets a fake leg in memory of how much of a dickhead Oscar Pistorius is. So you get a fake leg and it's called the prosthesis. That's what the loser gets. But just for this NFL one, if you lose, you get what's called trashed. So everyone just gets to, like, empty a bin and throw rubbish at you.
It's just pretty much a firing squad. I'd prefer a fake leg than get rubbish thrown at
you. Well, don't come last. Exactly. You won't get rubbish
I'm
thrown
just
at you.
I'm saving up all these rotten tomatoes and someone's going to get trashed good.
That's pretty funny.
I cannot wait.
Can we film that?
Yeah, 100%. Yes. We'll put it on our Facebook page for sure. Now, back to the cricket just quickly. Now, Shafiq got man of the match. He's a Pakistani guy. Now, they lost, which is always controversial when a loser gets man of the match. Steve Smith scored a massive 130 runs in the first innings, 63 in the second innings, and took two catches and did that awesome run out to end the game and still didn't get man of the match. What do you have to do to get man of the match in a situation like that? Don't you have to win? I thought you had to kind of win.
Yeah, well, Smith dropped a couple of catches, which proved to be vital. And I guess with the context of Shafiq's 100 to pretty much bring Pakistan from a almost impossible situation to give him a good glimmer of hope. They kind of went with that.
Well, he helped the tail wag. Do you know what that means?
No. It's where you scratch under a dog's chin.
The Roundabout Crew.
So changing things up a little, I'm going to take things to the EPL and...
English Premier League, that stands for, Tom.
Okay.
So the soccer used to be sponsored by Barclays, and the EPL have distanced themselves from a sponsorship because they don't want to. They want to be like aligned with the premium sports brands of the world, like NFL, NBA. They don't actually have any sponsors. Whereas you look at the NRL and it's the Telstra Premiership.
Gotcha.
And AFL's the Toyota Premiership. So they're kind of like, they think that's tacky. Barclays have been a sponsor for
I don't even know what a bank is. Oh, right.
So yeah, one of the big banks in England. So your Commonwealth Bank kind of thing. Like Commonwealth Bank Test Series is the Australian Test Series at the moment. Australia has no shame when it comes to sports sponsorship.
Oh, as much as possible.
Which is great because that's my job. So.
Well, it's funny you mentioned sponsorship because that's where I'm actually going with this. Captain of Leicester, so one of the clubs they won last year. His name is, well, his surname is Wes Morgan.
Mm.
So obviously he's a Captain Morgan.
That's good.
Captain Morgan, the rum brand, they got a hold of him.
Right.
And they've made him a spokesperson. So last year they did a promotion where they kind of released a fair few limited bottles with him on it instead of the mascot.
That's so good.
So that's a perfect one. But now he just penned a new deal and they've given him the power to provide free drinks to anyone within earshot of him in the bar. And I know you're looking at me confused and going, why earshot? Because as part of the contract obligations, he has to go up to the bar, hold up his arms like a giant Y, and then shout, there's only one Captain Morgan. And then anyone who kind of hears that comes up to him and go, oh, can I have a Captain Morgan and cola?
It's awkward.
And then he has to buy it for him. And then also in the contract is written,
it's really awkward.
If they're deemed over the limit, Morgan must inform them only anchors go overboard and then provide them with a water instead.
Surely this isn't true.
Wait, how much money did they give him for this? Because that is
embarrassing. That's a very specific terms.
Yeah, they didn't specify how much money, but he only literally just shared it on Twitter yesterday.
You know what's funny with that as well is that Leicester are really shit this year. So like last year it's cool they put him on the bottle. Like Leicester are the hot thing in the world, and they're like, yeah, okay, let's ride this wave. Let's get Wes Morgan on our bottles. This year, they're like, and now you've got to be at the bar and put your hands up in the air as a Y and yell, there's only one Captain Morgan.
And only at specific bars.
Yeah, it's exactly. Between 11 and 11:15 and you need to be wearing elephant trunks.
I'm pretty sure if I was confident enough, I could probably get a Captain Morgan for free if I went at the bar and did that thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you guys have any liquors that are close to your name?
Kraken.
No.
Kraken. Yeah.
Okay, you could get a deal with Kraken Rodriguez. They could call it that.
No, about you, Elliot?
That's my favorite spirit. Yep. Have you heard of Elliot's? No, I don't have any.
Really getting us back on topic, I wanted to talk more about just the weird sports endorsements that you've seen in the past. Some are good, some are bad. Obviously, that's a weird one. Probably the most successful of all time is, of course, George Foreman's Fat Blaster Grill.
Mm, yep.
That's made him billions of dollars, probably, or much less, more accurately. There's been some duds, though, in terms of the endorsements. I'm thinking of, like, Pele doing his male erection pills.
A strange one that came to mind for me as well is James O'Connor doing Swiss. Because Swiss is often considered for old people to help your joints and everything. And James O'Connor looks like a 10-year-old boy. So
do you reckon?
Like,
I've never thought of Swiss like that. It's like
Ponting's was with Swiss as well.
He's old.
Yeah,
it's just multivitamin.
Really? Okay. Each to their own.
I was going to play you a little clip of another one that was a dud. This is Joe Namath, so very famous quarterback, American football for you,
yep.
Tom. And this guy is a big dog. He's a huge household name. He's like, and this is back in the days it was real macho type of thing. Like it's, I think 70s, 80s he played.
Yeah, right. Yep.
So like back when like the men are just a big hairy chest, mows and all that sort of stuff.
And like you.
Exactly like me. And he did an ad for, well, pantyhose. I'll play it for you now.
Now I don't wear pantyhose, but a beauty mist can make my legs look good. Imagine what they'll do for yours.
Somehow, everything looks better through beauty mist.
Especially your leg.
So it's seedy AF, and what you missed was the visual. It was a slow pan from his toes up to his waist type of thing. You're looking at the slender legs in the pantyhose.
Yeah.
And obviously the pull out
think it's
reveal.
A woman.
Yep. Pull out reveal. Joe Namath this. Sitting there, lying down in his short shorts, looking very, very sexy.
What a sellout.
I kind of like that one. At least it's funny.
Well,
it's unexpected.
Yeah, true. I wonder how much they paid him.
Would have paid him a mozza. Speaking of funny ones, I'll leave you with a good one. This one's not a sports one. This is a bit more universal. Will Ferrell as Ron Burgundy doing one of his many ads for Dodge.
You know, a lot of people will tell you about the Dodge Durango's available Hemi V8 engine and 360 horsepower, but I'm the only one with the guts to tell you about this glove box. 0.1 cubic feet of storage, 12-volt light bulb, all in beautiful injection-molded thermoplastic olefin. Comfortably fits two turkey sandwiches or 70 packs of gum. Say what? Look, I'm not lying. Gum for days. Is this a gumball machine? No, it's a Dodge Durango.
I actually love those.
He actually has a lot to do with sport as well. He loves kind of like being courtside and everything like that. So maybe we could tie it in that way.
He did do a special where he went around with a baseball to every baseball team and played for them.
Really?
And it was like for charity. And it's like I think it was on Netflix or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like a whole episode where we'll play for every team for a day. And it's like kind of like
so
Billy Madison-esque.
Can you name me one baseball team that's not the New York Yankees?
The Red Sox.
Yeah, where are they from?
The Red Planet. Mars, I believe.
He's good.
Boston.
Oh.
The Roundabout Crew.
Boys, it's my favorite time of the week again. And that could mean only one thing. You bloody beauty, it's time for another great installment of Goat Watch.
I cannot wait for this one because the great man, we actually met him last week and got photos with him. And it was probably how old am I? 26. Probably the highlight of my life.
Yeah, I can believe that.
I've never done anything greater than
that. I can believe that as well.
He came into the Triple M studios to do an interview and I was just, we were waiting outside for him, just like little schoolgirls, it was the best day ever.
Well, I almost missed the opportunity. I was in the cubicle of the bathroom.
Okay. What were you doing in there?
Hanging out.
Okay.
Just texting a mate.
No, you know when you're at work and you're just like, fuck, I need a little break. I might just go pretend to do a poo. And then you just sit there and you actually do. Somehow it makes its way out.
The last office job I had, the Wi-Fi didn't work in the bathrooms. It was like I almost resigned on the spot.
Yeah.
When I found that out. It's like, what am I meant to do?
Yeah, you just like read the air freshener and like make origami out of the toilet paper or something.
For a good time, call Elliot on the walls and stuff.
Hey, I heard a good thing about, a good analogy about toilet paper today. Life is like toilet paper. You're either on a roll or copping shit from some asshole.
That's true.
That's good.
Pretty good.
That's good.
Too real.
Yeah. I almost missed him. And then I came back through and I met him and I was starstruck. I was like saying words that definitely weren't English. And he was
You can see the photo on Instagram. You guys look like schoolgirls all excited.
Yeah. It was so happy. And I was so happy I didn't even mention Goat Watch to him. The segment on our very own podcast dedicated to him.
He's my wallpaper on my computer as well. So I could have grabbed him and been like, Nath, come look at this. But I was like, ba 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 ba.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a weird thing to say.
Very weird thing to say.
I was nervous.
So let's head straight into Goat Watch. And I'll let you know what Gary's been up to this week. And of course, Australia beat Pakistan in the first test. And Gary, he didn't do too well, though. He only got 2 wickets. But we won. Goat Watch.
The Roundabout Crew.
I've only got 2 words to describe that Goat Watch, Ken.
Yep.
Nice, Kenny.
Yes. The highest order.
Yeah, well done. That's a real 5-star effort, that. Now, there's been a lot of talk that Gary or Nathan Lyon should get dropped.
Outrageous. Sacrilege.
What would you guys do?
Drop them.
If I was the coach? So you need someone around that's got that that morale-boosting attitude, and I think Gary's got that. So he's a character in the team, yeah. And I mean, 5 wins at Eden, played them one day, but 2 test wins in a row, he should stick around. If it ain't broke, don't damn fix it, Tom.
Too right.
All right, sorry, guys.
Okay, well, anyway, speaking of getting dropped, was watching the NFL over the weekend, and Houston Texans, They paid a lot of money for their quarterback at the moment, Brock Osweiler. Now, Osweiler was at Denver for 4 years prior. Would fill in when Peyton Manning wasn't available. They paid US $72 million for him.
That's right? A lot of money.
$99 million Australian, what my figures say here. And they benched him only after a few plays today. In fact, he only threw 11 passes. He completed six for 48 yards. But in those 11 attempts, he threw two intercepts.
Ooh,
which
not
is
good.
Not ideal for a quarterback. It's one job.
Tom's disgusted. I'm
disappointed.
How many intercepts do you think would be acceptable?
Zero.
Correct. You could be an NFL coach. On. That's Thank amazing. You. So he got pulled and they brought out Tom Savage.
That's Sounds a good. Great good name.
That's my porn name.
Well, he only earns $300,000 a season, guaranteed, where Osweiler is guaranteed $37 million.
Jeez.
So comparatively, that reminds me of the Dumb and Dumber story. Basically, Jeff Daniels was on like $50,000 for that movie and Jim Carrey got like $7 million. How's that? And so they negotiated it prior, and Jim Carrey was supposed to get about $400,000.
Yeah.
Jeff
yeah.
Daniels, 500.
And then he did 50. Like some of the
And then he did
movies.
Ace Ventura.
Yeah, yeah.
And the yeah. Farrelly brothers were like, oh shit, we've casted Jim Carrey. Like, we've written it for Jim Carrey. Only he could be Lloyd Christmas. So there you go. But yeah, that's kind of this whole comparative thing with Tom Savage and Osweiler. And it's something that he did in the game was actually lift the Texans really well, and they beat the Jaguars 21-20. So I reckon Osweiler might be spending a bit more time on the bench, kind of like, what's his name? Tony Romo.
Sitting behind Dak, our boy.
Our
the
boy
Cowboys.
Dak. So Dak's in our fantasy team. We picked him up as a gag, pretty much. And now he's one of the top quarterbacks in the game.
Who's laughing now, boys?
Who's laughing now, Tom?
No
Who's,
trash getting thrown at us.
Well, we're 2 fantasy points away from making the final. 20 yards.
You excited? You look excited.
Oh, mate, if we make the final, there's going to be a hell party at our house, I'll tell you what. Next Monday. Oh, no, we're all going to be away because it's Christmas. Damn. But I'll be watching
Cancel
at home.
Christmas. Yeah. We got bigger plans.
Sorry, family,
so,
we're not coming.
Obviously, Osweiler was booed today because of his poor efforts. Now, do you think the coach pulled him because the crowd influenced him so much?
Surely not.
Yeah, I think referees can be influenced and like the whole home crowd thing really, really gets teams over the line. Like I know there's like Seattle have the 12th man.
Yep.
So their crowd's called the 12th man because they think it has so much of an effect on the game that the 11 people out there are versing 12 because they have such an advantage when they play at home because right. the crowd's so loud.
Mm.
Apparently louder than a jet engine or something. Suncourt Stadium for the Queensland Maroons as well has obviously proved to be, it's called the Cauldron. You don't be playing anywhere called the Cauldron.
Yeah.
It's not ideal.
No, well, ANZ Stadium kind of used to be like that for us, but now we're really shit. But there's been a few kind of chants. Obviously, the Pommies are really good at the chants during the cricket. Like, he bowls to the left, he bowls to the right. That Mitchell Johnson. He's fucking shite. So they got some really, really good chants. But do you have a favourite chant? Do you know any chants?
I can't think of any off the top of my head.
My favourite was, of course, the Mitch Johnson. That is anything Barmy Army.
Barmy Army are classics, aren't they?
Yeah.
So my favourite chant probably in the soccer realm, this one came out of Northern Ireland. So this guy on YouTube basically just uploaded a video trying to make up chants for his team, Wigan Athletic. Now, their striker, Will Grigg, he scored 25 league goals in the season, and he's top goal scorer. So this legend came up with this chant just on YouTube, and here it is right now.
Will Grigg is on fire.
So this is his first
Come on
one.
Now. Will Grigg is on fire.
So that's his first one, but that's he came good. Up with a much better one. No, that's it. That's the same clip.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought you were going to turn it off, so I was like, don't turn it off.
You should have told me beforehand yeah, that was a split one.
Yeah. That's all right. We can edit that, can we?
Yeah, because you can't see trackers or anything like that.
Oh, right? I thought you could see it still. No. You'd have like Audacity.
No, it only comes up with like a 30-second countdown at the end.
Weird.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's just go from play it from the clip so Tom knows where to cut it. So just go, like when I'm like, here it is.
So you do it when you stop?
From the start. Just go from the start. Don't have to stop it. I've left the gap.
Will Grigg is on fire. Come on now. Will Grigg is is on fire.
So he's got a tambourine.
Yeah, he's got a little tambourine. So that's his first one, but he comes up with a much better one here.
Will Griggs on fire. Your defense is terrified. Will Griggs on fire. Your defense is terrified. Will Griggs on fire. Your defense is terrified. Will Griggs on fire. Everybody!
Yeah, good.
So it's really catchy. It's an Italian kind of dance song that he sung over the top of. Now, this caught on so much that it was right in time for the Euros.
Yeah.
So Northern Ireland played in the Euros and actually did quite well. And this is the crowd at one of their games. It's actually amazing. Sorry, this is when Northern Ireland came back.
Oh, back home?
Yeah.
That's a banger.
Imagine being in a crowd, good. Ready? And they all just jump, like, yes. 2 feet, jump in the air. So they do that. So they were doing that at stadiums. They were going absolutely bananas. Like, and the funny thing is, though, Will Grigg played for Northern Ireland, but he didn't play 1 minute. He sat on the bench the whole tournament.
No!
And they sang this song at least 10 times every game.
It's too good not to.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly, yeah. So the bloke wasn't really on fire, but they're just like, imagine if he got on.
Yeah.
He would have sung the whole time he was on. But that's one of my favourite chants ever. But
I think that's a new challenge for you in 2017. I think we got to go through some pop songs and get some new jams for the Aussie teams.
Yeah, ooh, well, it's true. There's no songs or anything really for...
Someone's got to make them.
Any of the NRL. I remember Manly came. I was at a Penrith Manly game out at Penrith.
Yeah.
And the Manly fans, obviously, a bit more well off than the people out in Penrith. Oh, they live on the beaches. Oh, well, just statistically speaking.
Yeah.
And they were chanting, my garden shed is bigger than this. My garden shed is talking about the Penrith Stadium. So that was pretty funny. But I think my favourite chant ever has got to be this one. And it's the most Australian chant of all time.
Yeah.
So simple.
I know.
But brilliant.
So the Northern Irish fans can make up a song and like basically jump and dance around, and we're just like, Broad is a wanker. But Broad is a wanker because In England just before that he'd edged a ball and not walked, which in cricket is just not cricket. It's just not cool to edge and then not walk. Steve Smith.
I was gonna say Steve Smith just did it on 97, And I was like, yep, good move. I'd never walk.
Yeah.
But Broadie, I was like, Broadie's a wanker.
Yeah, so Stuart Broad did it and he came over to Australia and got absolutely hounded the whole summer. Like that chant was more regular than sipping beer. Like everyone was just like, Broadie's a wanker.
He just became the poster of the enemy for that entire series.
He's basically you in cricketer version.
Ah, that was a bit mean.
What a burn to end us with. Actually, just before we do leave, we do have our first ever review on the iTunes store. So you can find this podcast and our normal one on the iTunes store. Look us up, Roundabout Crew, of course. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes.
We don't accept any less.
We don't accept any less, and well, you'll actually get read out.
No one would rate us any less because it is a 5-star podcast, so...
Absolutely.
I have no dramas.
So I will read this one out, a first ever 5-star review. Thank you to Chevs303 doing this for the shout-out Chevs Writes. And they start off well by saying, nice, Gary!
Yeah, Gary!
Yeah, Chevs.
Good stuff, boys, loving the podcast. Surely chucking a shout-out too. So they say shout-out heaps.
So they basically got their message across.
Yep. Shout out. 5-star review. Leave one. You'll get a shout out.
Fantastic. Thanks, Chez. Well, that has been the Roundabout Crew podcast, the sports show. All thanks to the Greenfield Post for putting us up for this one. And we
won't be back till the new year.
We won't be back till 2017. So hopefully we do well in the Boxing Day test and the New Year test. We'll be coming back shortly after that. Tom, any interest in coming to the New Year test with Ken and I?
When is it?
The New Year.
Okay. Yeah, if I stick around that long.
All right. So we'll have a great Christmas and a happy New Year, and we'll see you again in January. This has been the Roundabout Crew Sports Podcast. Thanks to the Greenfield Post. The Roundabout Crew.